Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 11. Yes, Lord, thank you for your grace tonight, and every born again child of God, every one of us gathered in your name, we pray for our nation. It's a time of prayer, and today we have prayed, and some have fasted, and then again, Sunday is a national day of prayer for our country on Sunday. And we see the need, and we are like, we are here in your place, and Wilson Lippi, he, in his heart, found what you wanted him to do in his life, and he did it, and he followed you in faith and in prayer. Dr. Stevens, he found what you wanted him to do in his life, and he followed you with focus and fervency in his heart, redeeming the time. And many of us here tonight, we have found our place in the body of Christ and in our particular work and ministry of small degree or great, it does not matter as long as we are faithful in what you've given us to do. Raising a family, loving, forgiving, and of course, praying. We ask you to bless our thoughts tonight as we have taken time in, and by faith we have come and gathered in your name. This is recorded in a book and is not in vain. And you will speak to our hearts tonight, for we have gathered not for our sake, but for your sake. We have been gathered for your glory and your purpose. And we thank you for it, Lord. Bless in the city of Baltimore. Bless in the state of Maryland, the whole region, and across our country, and for healing in Las Vegas and in the souls of men who fear, people that live in fear, and bring healing so that we are your bold people, faithful people, and we have a mission and a vision in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know. Did we get those pictures, Pastor? No. Okay. Turn now to Luke chapter 11. And Jesus is praying. This is verse 1. Came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I've always wondered what it must have looked like to watch Jesus pray. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I just watch him praying, you know, like what he is doing. And it made an impression on the disciples. And when he was done, so there was a time when he finished in his prayer. And when he was done, they said, teach us, in verse 1, teach us to pray. So he taught them this prayer, verse 2, 3, 4. And that's a message in itself, not ours tonight, but the prayer that he taught them, a very simple Very simple. Prayer is not complicated, and it's very simple but very powerful. So then he tells a parable about it in verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not go to my friend at midnight. I think Pastor Shibeli would. He would. He'll call you any time of the day or night, and no problem. Wherever he is in the world, he would call you. But which of you would go to a friend at midnight? I wait until the morning. I don't want to disturb him or trouble him. Verse 6. For this is the reason. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So now we have 3 people. My friend has come to me, and I have no food. And he needs the food. I don't need the food, but he needs the food. But I don't need the food, but he needs the food. The city of Baltimore, I don't have the problems that the city has. I live here, but Baltimore needs 3 loaves of bread. The United States of America needs 3 loaves of bread. Las Vegas, the people, and the trouble and the pain, they need 3 loaves of bread. I don't need the 3 loaves of bread. I'm fine. But I'm coming to my friend for them. For him, you know, right? Do you ever feel that way? That I'm coming, I'm going to even at midnight go to him, even at midnight, and I'm going to say, a friend of mine has come, and he has nothing to eat, and I'm coming in his place, and I'm asking you. I am asking you. It is awkward. It isn't appropriate, but it's in my heart. It's in my heart. I'm coming to you for them. Not for myself, but for them, I'm coming to you. This is what Jesus taught the disciples, didn't he? He said it this way. Okay, verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. What would you say then? Oh, okay. Sorry. Catch you in the morning. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't realize it. You're saying no. Oh, okay. No, later, okay, later, that's okay, later, let's think about it later, let's do it later, right? But there's something in this story that we have to get a hold of, and it is that when the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and we have something that the Holy Spirit is doing, and the Holy Spirit is saying, and the Holy Spirit is insisting, and the Holy Spirit is persuaded, and the Holy Spirit is asking, and the Holy Spirit is moving us, then we have something that the world doesn't have, and it's prayer, intercession. I was in the library today here at the Bible College, and I saw the pictures of the graduating classes, 1980, 1980, 81, 82, 83, 84. And I saw hundreds of people that had graduated in Lenox through those years. Many of you were there in Lenox in those years. And this is what I remember about those years. It was, we're going into the world, We believe in it. People are lost. We can do something. We're not perfect, but we have faith. God is with us. We have this word, and God hears our prayers. We open up a prayer room, 24-hour prayer room, 24/7. How many were ever in that prayer room praying? Just raise your hand. Yeah. We are in the prayer room praying, walking in the room. There was the presence of God in the room. And being there for an hour, it was 24, like you took a slot, 24, like an hour, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, you walk up the sidewalk, up Lenox Street, and you go into Schermerhorn, you go upstairs into the prayer room, and it was all there carpeted, and it was a prayer room, and we prayed for years in that prayer room. And God answered. And many of you answers, and also the graduates in the photos answers. It's so stirring. Okay, Pastor Steve's got a couple pictures here. Okay. Is that they're going to just come up? Come on. There's one, yeah. I mean, you know, I just took time to think and pray about these people and kind of looked at some of them and identified them right away and thought about these people and the ministry and how many decades, like year after year, graduates from Bible college and people of faith and vision and something in our heart and being stirred up in it and not stopping. Because you know how it is. Somebody comes asking for bread. I go, I don't have any. Can't you get me some? No, I can't get you any. It's midnight. I can't get you any. But I have to have. And you, if you and I can feel and sense this, then you go at midnight. It's like wrong time. And then when they give you the reason, I cannot come out now, I cannot do this now, that's when you just resign. You say, I'm done, I'm finished. Thank you very much. I'll catch you later. But Jesus said, no. You just keep at it. You don't stop. You just say, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. I'm believing you. I'm believing. Look at verse 8. It says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I remember being with, I don't know if I heard the story or I was with Hanalei, but I know how it goes. She's in the Soviet Union, Russia, asking for a plane, train ticket. And the person at the window says, we don't have any. All sold out. There are no tickets. She goes, I need a ticket. And I need a ticket now. And I'm asking you for a ticket. This is, how many times? Niet. How many times? Nothing. We have nothing. It's all sold out. And then she's insistent. And she puts there, she makes a little overture of some kind of friendliness, you know. And the person pulls a ticket out and gives her a ticket. It's like, wow, Hanalei, how do you do? They always say no at first. And you make a deal. And you persuade them. And you're kind. Or you're angry, or however it goes. Are you like that in prayer? Or in your heart? Do you believe in greater grace, world outreach? that God does it, that God answers prayer? Do you believe that God can heal a broken heart? Do you believe that God can save a soul? Do you believe that God has a plan for our nation, and that we're not surrendering? Our nation comes to us and needs three loaves of bread, and we hear the cry. Let me share one thing Frank Corbier shared with me. He said in Colorado, they've legalized marijuana. And I said, have a lot of drug people moved to Colorado? And he said, yes. And he said, there are amazing problems, like DUIs, like huge numbers, also neglecting children. And the state is taking children away from drug people that are high, every day on marijuana, and the children are neglected. And he said, in three towns, 1,300 children have been taken from their parents, and they're looking for foster families that will take in the children, that will feed them and clothe them and take care of them. Wow. I think our leaders need prayer. And that's to say it nicely. And I think the way that we have learned to live, and what has happened in our work, as we see Wilson Lippi, as he has worked and done what he has done, it makes me feel inspired. And I want to think about those things that God had led us into, and to do it with all our hearts and not back off. Not back off. Believe in evangelism. Believe that people need a word in season. Believe that people need help. Believe that we can go out on the street and share a message. And recently I have this idea here on the Beltway of having another campus like this one, having another church in the other side, on the maybe Owings Mills area. And we could call it the West Campus. West Campus. And we're looking for a place over there. And we would, I would preach here on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then at 10:20, I get in a car that's running over there all warmed up and hot, and get in the car and go out to Owings Mills and preach there at 11 o'clock. And somebody else preach here at 11, and do some kind of rotation, and have out there in a whole nother area of the area here, and have an outreach and share the message, and have pastors, and maybe even start a Christian day school over there, and do it all over. Do it again. Do more of it. Do it again, because we out there, and we are healthy. Yeah, in our hearts and believing God, but we're not finished, because God answers prayer. And we say, Lord, we need the three loaves. He goes, are you really sure about it? I'm going to put you through some fire and some water. Go ahead. I need the three loaves. Are you really serious about it? I am serious about it. I need the three loaves. For my friend needs it. Wow, what's going on with you? I think it's just the Holy Spirit that has put in our hearts these things. Because people, what is it, 50,000 Americans have dropped dead recently on the streets from drug overdose. We just saw a mass murder out there in Las Vegas. We see the state of Colorado and the state of Maryland wants to do the same thing. And here we go, we're moving in a direction. But guess who's here? You and I. And just to use this phrase, praying through, staying on topic for maybe hours, days, maybe months, maybe years. Maybe the fact that we got to go to the Soviet Union in answer to prayer, maybe it was years of prayer that caused those doors to open. And when we went into Uzbekistan, Pastor Monty said, we have to do it now. We have to do it now. The doors are open now. We don't know when they will close, but the doors will close. And in 10 years, they closed, and they kicked all the missionaries out. But our work remains there. Our work is there, and they are doing it, and they are evangelizing. They are ministering, and they are doing the work. This is a beautiful time for healing of relationships, because prayer doesn't give up. It's so tenacious and serious about it. Guys, once we lock on and God's will, God's way, God's word, once we find it and we go at it. Now listen, Abraham said about Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord, hold it. Don't do anything. Let me talk to you. I am your friend. God said, Abraham is my friend in Genesis 18. Shall I go and do this thing in Sodom and Gomorrah without telling my friend Abraham? When he told Abraham, Abraham said, hold it. Is it possible? And they worked it out, you know, how they went. What if? And what if? And Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, but not without God's people interceding, asking because of love. Jacob was going to be killed by his brother in Genesis 32 when he stayed up through the night and he wrestled with God. God said, let me go. And Jacob said, no, I will not let you go until you... You see, somehow he got a hold of God in prayer. And he got it. He got the thing happening there. There's something going on. God answered him. Nehemiah in chapter 1, verse 4. Nehemiah heard about Jerusalem being destroyed, burned with fire. And Nehemiah just started to pray and fast and think about it when he was in Babylon. And he was just thinking, yeah, we got to do something about it. Got to do something about it. Isn't that good? Pastor Frank was telling me out in Colorado, 80%, I'm not sure about the age, but 80% of the Americans out there under the age of 25 years have never been in a church once. 80% of them. They've been to the mountains, but they haven't been in a church. It's a mission field, our country. Okay. Nehemiah prayed. God answered. Ezra prayed in chapter 8. God answered. Pastor Stevens prayed. God answered. Here we are today. We are praying. And God answers. We're not done. We're stirred up in it. Now I want to get a hold of this person here who is hungry and needs 3 loaves. I got to get a hold of their heart and hear what they're saying. And I want the Holy Spirit to put it on my heart and to say, and even remember Paul said weeping, weeping. There was weeping. Remember, Daniel was in trouble in chapter 2. And the king was going to kill all the wise men. And Daniel sent the chamberman to go tell the king, please wait a little bit. God will show me what the dream is. Remember, the king didn't want to know the interpretation of the dream. He wanted them to tell him what the dream was. That's harder. And the wise men said, that's impossible. Then he said, then you're worth nothing. I'll kill all of you. Daniel said, wait a minute. My God will show me. My God will show me. See, he got a hold of that thing. And in the Holy Spirit, he prayed. And God, he said, God, could you show me the prayer, the dream? And God did. I mean, God can show us things. God can lead us. God can lead me. I'm so happy we got a whole new team for the Children Evangelism Fellowship to the schools. A whole nother team of people volunteered. Pastor Westera told me that he has more quality. He has quality. All of them are quality, but he has these amazing people that are coming to him to help him in the Sunday school. I am so thankful for that. Remember, it's not money. It's not volunteerism. But it's my calling. What's my calling? What's God want me to do? And I asked Wilson Lippe one time, I said, when did you get saved? And I don't remember the answer, but I said, when did you really start? When did it really happen? He said, I was 51 years old. 51 years old, he starts with a vision, and he goes for it. And works hard and is focused on it. And I'm sure many adversaries, much opposition, but he heard these young people and unsaved people and people that are lost, that don't know anything. I was with him. We've been with him through this, but over here in Timonium, and I was sitting there listening, and he asked these two young guys, do you know what Christmas means? And these two young American guys said, no. And he said, do you know what Christmas means? And they said, no. I mean, we couldn't believe it. Yeah, they didn't know. Wow. So you get the Spirit says to us, yeah, I want you to pray, and I don't want you to stop. I want you to believe me. And I want you to pray through and get this thing answered. Because God is not, he's not hard to work with. He is very eager, but he doesn't want our empty prayers. And he doesn't want our empty hearts. When my heart is empty, look at this text in chapter, is it 11? Verse 9, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now, let's say, something's on my heart, and I'm asking, and I don't get an answer. Well, is that thing that is on my heart, is it of God? Is it just from me? I have a lot of things that are in my heart that may not be from God. I don't know, is that thing from God? I don't know. But I want to get a hold of that thing that is from God. And when God is moving us in our heart and in faith, we can ask, right? Look at verse 11. If his son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And now comes this, listen to this. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Prayer is really about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Holy Spirit. Father, I have nothing in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I am sure the Holy Spirit has something in his heart. The Holy Spirit cares about people. The Holy Spirit is at work in this world. Holy Spirit cares about my family more than I do. Holy Spirit has a plan for the city where the people are born. Not so much the city, but one by one, the people that are here round about us, one by one. Okay. So, praying through. Peter was in jail in Acts 12, and they were praying, and Herod was going to kill him. But no, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, my mind is not for him to die. My mind is for him to live. Pray. And they prayed in the Holy Spirit. And an angel came and released him. And it was done. I want to know, what does the Holy Spirit say? What's the Holy Spirit doing? I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. I want the Holy Spirit to give me a heart vision for what is happening. I want to get a hold of that and think about it and walk in it. What does God want to do? I think he wants more preachers, more pastors. The churches are empty and being sold in this country. The attendance has dropped off. There are the mega churches that pick up people, but they have such a softened, watered-down message that people go there, but they may not even know what is the gospel, and definitely may not know what it is that is. Well, they do not know the Bible the way that we must know in order for it to be a sword of the Spirit, when we live by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And so we have a watered down, but God is working in China. And there are millions and millions of people that are on fire for God in China. Because the gates of hell will not prevail. If he closes the door in Europe, he may open the door in the United States. He closes the door in the United States. He opens the door in China. But I know that it is not a problem to you and I, because we have an open heaven. And it's good for us to be in a dark time. It's good for us to be. It would have been good for us to have been in Nazi Germany when Hitler was rising to power. It would have been good for us to be in communist Russia when the communists were rising in power. It'd be good for us to be in the United States when we find a deterioration of morality and character and contracts and promises and relationships. It is a good thing for us to be here when there are fiery trials and waters as flood the land in a metaphorical way, and it's good for us to find and know God and say, God, thank you. Release Peter out of jail in Jesus' name, and he comes out. God, visit us in the meeting, and 3,000 people are saved. God, give us another Bible college, and God raises up the men and the women of God. And God, give us prayers that move and shake things. Guys, we are your people. We are in the wilderness, but that's a good thing, because we walk with God in a personal way. If you have a broken heart, a broken relationship, broken marriage, broken family, we're very sorry for that, but the Holy Spirit has something to say to you. And don't back off. Holy Spirit has something to lead you in, and you become healthy and loving and forgiving and Spirit-filled, and the Holy Spirit will use you in a mighty way and bring blessing into your life. If your business is falling apart or whatever it might be, that's fine. I mean, I'm sorry for it, like we are with all of these things, but don't back off with God. God is the answer. The dear folks that are shattered by what happened in Las Vegas. We're all very sorry for that. But this is the world we live in. And don't back off from God, for the Holy Spirit has something to say to us in every trial, in every situation, wherever we might be. And he said, men ought always to pray and not faint, in Luke 18. But we faint. We get afraid. Now there is fear on the streets. No, you don't fear. We don't fear evil, Proverbs 1:33. We fear God. We don't fear evil. No, we don't live in fear. By the way, I haven't watched the news in weeks. I don't even know. I only know what happened by the radio. I haven't seen any, not even 1 minute of it. I'm not saying anything about that, but only to tell you, to let you know, and for you to think with me, that I don't need to know all kinds of details about evil work. I don't need to I'm not living in any fear of anything regarding our time. I'm not worried about those things, for it is the Holy Spirit that has something to say to my heart. And He will lead me in the important thing. And you be doggedly focused on the important thing that God has for you. As some of you may be, you should get in a car and go do a Bible study somewhere. Pull up to a pizza shop. Talk to the manager. Say, I'm going to eat pizza here every Friday night. And I'm going to open up the Bible. Is that okay? And I might bring some customers in for you. And we'll have a little Bible study right there in that back table. He goes, sure, bring them in. Bring in as many as you can. And bring in all the money you can. We need it. That's what we do. We are messengers, but we pray. Lastly, I'm finishing. Pray. Which pizza shop? Who is coming? What is the message? I'm not just going to talk. I want to get it from the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to give me an anointed message like Pastor Steve does in Dundalk at the bakery shop. How many you got coming, Pastor? 4 to 14 people that come in and eat pastries. That's what they're there for. And they listen to him. And, you know, this is the way it works. Let us pray like never before. Let us not back off in our spirit and a calling of God, and wait on God, and then just wait on God. Wait on him. Wait upon him. And he will heal you. He will help you. He will lead you and me, and we will be led, and we'll see things happen. And, excuse me, even missions and missionaries, that's one more, Acts 13, they prayed and fasted, and the Holy Spirit, listen to this, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them to do. So the elders in the church, they prayed and fasted, and they laid hands on them and sent them out, and that work is recorded in the book of Acts. And many of your works, by the way, are recorded in heaven. Many of the things that the Holy Spirit has called you to do, many of the things that God has called you and I to do, they are recorded and they're part of it. And all that has happened through all those years with all those pictures and all those precious people and the answers to many prayers that have resulted in many good works around the world that have been fantastic answers to Holy Spirit prayers. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening as we see through the years what has happened. Healings, disciples, missionaries, women, counselors, guides, missionaries, teachers, children edified, off of drugs, out of serious trouble, answers out of jail. Answers, healings, answers, churches started, Bible schools started, men of God anointed, comfort on people, Lord. We thank you for this. And may we be stirred up, Lord, in these days with times set apart, even preparing, even before we pray, just preparing in our heart to pray, preparing in our heart to find what God cares about, preparing in our heart that we care, preparing in our heart that a friend came to us and has need. And Lord, lead us and do it in your name. And then anyone here tonight who doesn't have Christ as your Savior, this is the time to say to Jesus, I believe in you. I need you. I believe in you, Jesus, personally. I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, forgive me, save me. Give me eternal life. I receive it. It's all done. It's all finished. I believe in you tonight in your name. Raise your hand. Anyone here in the auditorium, anyone at all, just raise your hand. Anyone? Yes, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.